So now we come to the stanza number 23 of the third chapter of Bodhicharyavatara, and this is the actual taking of the Bodhisattva vows. Now here, generally, when Bodhisattvas kind of take the Bodhisattvas kind of aspiration or the vows, according to their motivation, their kind of strength of motivation, there are three types of Bodhisattvas. Somebody who is called a king-like bodhisattva, the captain-like bodhisattva, and shepherd-like bodhisattva. The king-like bodhisattva is those who would say that I very much would like to work for the benefit of all the sentient beings, that I would like to bring them all to the lasting peace and happiness. So therefore, first, I would like to get there. I would first get enlightened, and then, as an enlightened being, I would help all the beings to get that experience of enlightenment, lasting peace and happiness. This is like the king who first want to look after himself, make everything enjoyable, good, powerful, everything, you know, perfect, and then he would also like to help his subjects to become better. This is called the king-like bodhisattva. The captain-like bodhisattva is those who says that I would like to bring all the sentient beings to the enlightenment, to lasting peace and happiness, and I would like to bring them together with me. I would become enlightened along with them. So this is like the captain who, you know, takes the ship across the ocean, and if he gets across the ocean, then all the passengers of the ship also gets across the ocean. And if it doesn't, then nobody gets. So therefore, it's called the captain-like bodhisattva, whose aspiration is much more stronger, much more compassionate, that he wants to bring, or he or she wants to bring every being together with him to the lasting peace and happiness. Then there is the bodhisattva, what is called as the shepherd-like bodhisattva. This bodhisattva says that I would like to bring all the sentient beings without leaving anybody behind to the perfect enlightenment, to lasting peace and happiness. After I have done that, and after that only, I would like to become enlightened. I would not want to become enlightened unless and until I can bring every being to the enlightenment. This is like those shepherds who first wants to see that all his or her sheep are safe and fed and in the kind of a barn, and then only he goes to kind of sleep or take his meals and rest. So whichever kind of bodhisattvas you would like to be, it doesn't matter. But when you take the bodhisattva vows, usually it is said the best is to take it from a genuine teacher, who has the bodhisattva's vows, who keeps the bodhisattva vows, and who is a kind of a genuine, trustworthy person a teacher. But it is not that you have to take the bodhisattva's vows only from a person or the teacher. It is possible to take the bodhisattva's vows also in front of images of the Buddha or bodhisattvas, or even if there is no images or there is no representations of the Buddhas and bodhisattvas, you kind of think about all the Buddhas and bodhisattvas in front of you, existing in front of you, and there from them you can take the bodhisattva's vows. It's about yourself. So therefore, you can take the bodhisattva vows yourself without any other person being there also, because it is your own, you know, aspiration, your own making the decision. So therefore, there is no difference actually, not too much difference. The only thing is that if you take it from a person, then you have some kind of you can be a little bit, you know, aware and mindful and a little bit ashamed if you break it because you've taken it from your teacher. Now, when you take the bodhisattva vows, first of course, you know, you make all the right aspirations. You can make offerings and things like that as much as possible to make a very, you know, very strong kind of preparation. Make lots of, you know, prepare it nicely. Make the kind of usually it is said that you to clean the place, to decorate the place, to make a throne from whom you are taking for the person from whom you are taking the refuge, decorate it with flowers and everything that's possible, to make it a grand way, to make lots of offerings and things like that, so that, you know, you kind of accumulate lots of positive merits and positive deeds to make the act very powerful, or to make it, you know, not something unimportant, but very important for you. Like if you make a marriage, you make it, you know, if make it very important, and you know, make lots of expenses and celebrations in the same way. Then you also do the refuge 3 times, and then the actual, you know, vows, there are 2 ways. One is what is sometimes called as the Manjushri way or the Nagarjuna way, where you take the aspiration bodhisattvas and aspiration bodhisattva vow and action bodhisattva vow together in one go. And another is the Maitreya way or Asanga way, which is you take the aspiration bodhisattva vows separately from the action bodhisattva vows. You have 2 ceremonies. So this is the Nagarjuna's way, because that's the Shantideva is following the Nagarjuna's tradition. So here in this stanza, these 2 stanzas, stanza 23, after saying the refuge 3 times, just as all the Buddhas of the past have brought forth the awakened mind, and in the precepts of the bodhisattvas, step by step, abode and trained. Means that as all the Buddhas of the past generated the bodhicitta, that means have brought forth the awakened mind, means they generated the bodhicitta. So now you know the bodhicitta, so we can use the word bodhicitta. And in the precepts of the bodhisattvas, step by step, abode and trained. They trained, the first generation, the aspiration bodhisattva, bodhicitta, aspiration, the kind of generate the bodhicitta, that's the aspiration. And then the trend in the bodhisattvas, precepts or jatisattva ways, like action bodhisattvas, bodhicitta, like the six paramitas and things like that. And step by step means as possible, you know, as first a little bit, then a little bit more, then a little bit more, stronger and stronger. Like it is said that first you try to give a cup of curry if you have no problem with that, and then a little bit more and a little bit more, and then once you get very accustomed to it, very used to it, then even if you kind of want to, or you there's a big benefit, a great benefit, you might even give your life for the sake of the people. So in this way, not, you know, kind of directly or not right from the beginning trying to do something that you cannot do, it's not like that, but first trying something that is easy and possible for you to do, and then getting better and better in terms of all the, you know, like six parameters, generosity, moral ethics or discipline, any of those parameters, meditation and patience and, you know, wisdom, everything. That's a step by step and gradually. So likewise, so this is what, you know, great Buddhas of the past and Bodhisattvas generated and trained themselves on the Bodhisattva's way. So in the same way, likewise, for the benefit of beings, for the benefit of all the beings, including myself, for my benefit and for benefit of every other beings, I will bring to birth the awakened mind. Means I would like to generate the bodhicitta in myself. That is, this is the aspiration bodhicitta. This is to promise myself to generate the aspiration bodhicitta. You know, I will bring to birth the awakened mind. I will generate the bodhicitta. I will bring the compassion, the wisdom kind of with compassion. Aspiration of the wisdom with compassion, bodhicitta in myself. And then I will not just generate this motivation of bodhicitta, but in those precepts, step by step, I will abide and train myself. This is this last one is action bodhisattva's vows, that I will not only generate the bodhicitta, but also will train on that practically in action, step by step. You know, I will step by step, I will abide in the actions of the bodhisattvas, the six paramitas, and helping others, all those kind of things. You know, there are many precepts of the bodhisattvas, and all of them, step by step, you know, not everything together, but whatever I can at this stage, I will train on that, I will abide in that, and then when I can, then little bit more, so that's what we call step by step, gradually. I will train in those kind of bodhisattvas' life, bodhisattvas' way of life, bodhisattvas' precepts, bodhisattvas' conducts, bodhisattvas' trainings, and then, you know, become a better and and stronger and greater bodhisattva. So this is very, very important, because, you know, when you take the bodhisattva's vows, you are not promising something that you cannot do. You are just promising to train, start to train in generating the bodhicitta first, and then training in its, you know, in its way, in its precepts, in its, you know, way of life, as you can, step by step and gradually. And basically, you know, the most important thing is you want to bring the lasting peace and happiness in yourself. You want to bring the lasting peace and happiness in all the beings. And this must be, you know, this is very clear, that I want to bring the lasting peace and happiness for myself, the lasting peace and happiness for all the beings. Therefore, I must bring the enlightened state of mind. I must develop my wisdom, my compassion, my ability to help and heal others, you know, and I must bring that to all other beings. That's, you know, that's must. There's no, you know, there's no two opinions. There is that I must do. So in order to do that, then I would like to train myself. I would like to train myself and work for the benefit of others as much as, you know, I am able to, step by step. Because the more I get trained in it, the more I get advanced in it, the more I become better in it, the more I can do. So this is the actual bodhisattva's vows. So I think today I'll stop here. Stanza number 22, 23 and 24. Thank you.